Well, first of all, my compliments to the chef, whoever it was that cooked up that slideshow. I suspect, was that Polly? You did all that? Right. I wondered who'd been on my computer. It could not have been more perfect. And I'm not even joking, because it wasn't just a bunch of pictures of us. It was the kids. Ha! You know, I had planned this morning out to where and walk through it and wouldn't become a pile of tears at any point. And that was so great. It was so great. And I haven't had a chance to really see all of the former students who were here, but I love those kids. Still do. Wow. What a way to remind us of that. I'm not even kidding. And it was so cool to see little teenage girls who are now daughters-in-law, or almost. One's going to be soon. That's fantastic. I'm not going to talk about every photograph, I promise, but wasn't that Columbia trip fun? Joni, Braden, Eddie, wherever you guys are, Jenna, and I don't think she's here today, that's fine. But just goodness gracious, that was so cool, and I hope that maybe we can get that collection of photographs and be something we can have. So this is a hard one to wrap my mind around, and I'm not going to talk very long because I can't. Wouldn't be able to, but this is a hard thing to wrap my mind around, my heart around, and the last several weeks I've been just sort of operating from a kind of, I've just kept myself sort of hard to what's going on and to what's transpiring, trying to remain a little calloused for the time being so that I could get things done and get through this and come to this day and get through it. And so, you know, as Pastor was saying, this church has been a part of my life since 1980, and that just blows my mind when I think about it. When I left home, I never intended on, really, sorry, Mom and Dad, I didn't intend really to come back and live in this area, and this is just how the Lord works. And I tell you what, I did not intend on living right next to my parents eventually. And now I can throw a baseball and hit their house. I don't know why the Lord does things like that, but I like it. He writes good stories. And you know, when you do something for long enough, it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of who you are. Many of you have had long careers in places. You know what I'm talking about. And to be honest, I'm not really sure what tomorrow is going to be like. Other than specifically tomorrow, I know that Michelle and I are going to be on a motorcycle somewhere. And that, for now, that's okay. And that's probably a good start. So at a time like this, you'd think that you would look back and you would reminisce on all of the wonderful things that God has done, you know, over the past many years. Lives he's changed, you know, in all of that, and that's certainly part of it. But I got to tell you, when I consider the time that we've spent here, there's no way to describe, there's no measure for what the Lord has done in me, in my heart. And I need that. I feel like, to such a large degree, that the Lord has had me here, and Michelle, sure, to use us in whatever way he saw fit, but also to do something in me. And if any of you are familiar with your own hearts, you know what I'm talking about. I still have a long way to go, but I look back over the years and I see how being here connected to this church and these people and you people specifically. It has changed me for the better. The Lord has used that. And I'm so thankful, grateful. I bless Him for it. It's, you know, you do something for somebody else and you think, oh, that was nice. And then you realize, wow, I'm the one that was changed. And that's what's going on here. So as best I can, I want to say thank you. And I really mean this, thank you. And some of you included in that, some of those yous aren't even here this morning. Names and faces maybe that have moved on, but I want to say thank you for trusting us with your amazing, wonderful kids over the years. Really, thank you. Because that's a, you know, I can't describe it. I'm not going to try to describe it. I'm going to stick to this. I'm going to stick to my notes like Pastor Kent does so well. But we can't say thank you enough times or in enough ways to match, seriously, to match the outpouring of love and gifts and prayers. So many have come up, not just in the last few weeks, but throughout our time. I've been praying for you just at the time we needed it. We cannot say thanks enough or in enough ways to match that. But, you know, here's the deal. I can't say thank you adequately enough, but I tell you, here, you have our hearts, okay? There's my grandson. He's keeping me from crying right now. You can have our hearts. Thank you for saying thank you, as so many of you have done. Thank you for saying thank you. That's so cool. It's such a simple thing. This doesn't even make any sense anymore. It doesn't matter. But we see this for what it is. We see it for what it is. And it's love. It's an outpouring of love. We receive it for what it is. And just means the world to us. And far more love has been given to us in thanks and appreciation than we could ever return. Okay? But we're going to try. We'll try as long as we have life and breath to do that. And I want to share some scripture with you, if you don't mind. I'm thankful for God's word, and I'm just gonna read some scripture. That's why we're here. From Ephesians chapter 2, the word of the Lord. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. And then the two, I'd say, most important words in Scripture. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Now, how is any of this possible? How is any of that possible? It's the cross. The cross is the place where God's wrath and God's love meet in the most amazing way. It is there at the cross where 2 Corinthians 5:21 comes to life. Go ahead and look it up and read it. 2 Corinthians 5:21. I'm not going to read it to you. I'm just going to drop it there. And you can look it up later. 2 Corinthians 5:21. That's where it comes to life. And where we begin to understand the horror and the seriousness of our own personal sin, but also the great unthinkable love of God. How wide, how long, how high, how deep is the Father's love for us? Vast beyond all measure. What happens is Christ steps into and under the wrath of God, the just wrath of God meant for us, for me. And by faith, then, we step into and under the perfection of Christ. It's a trade. It's the most radical thing ever. And it's as simple as repentance. It's what the church is all about. The glory of God in the gospel. But don't miss it. I have a final word here. It is this. Don't miss it. Don't feel like you're a believer because you dress up like one. And I mean, by that I mean, do the things believers do. Go to church. And talk nice and act nice. Don't stop until your heart cry is this: without Christ, I am lost. 2 Corinthians 13, Paul says this, sticks it right to him. He says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Well, that's harsh, Paul, but it's so merciful. There's no varnish there at all. Paul says, is Christ your only hope for salvation? Okay. But don't fool yourself. But even Paul's kind of harsh, hit you over the head words there, they pair nicely with what Jesus says in John 6, where he says, the Father will cast out no one who comes to him. He will cast out no one who comes to him. So come. What Christ has done is everything, and we call it the gospel. So here's a little thing for you. Preach the gospel to yourself. Preach the gospel to yourself every day. Remind yourself of what Christ has done for you personally. We need to hear that gospel, not just on Sundays, but every day of our lives. You will find that it is a remedy not only for eternal life, but for everyday life. The gospel is for every day of your life. Your nagging fears, your tough relationships, unanswered questions, is all found in Christ in the gospel. God's redemption is for every day. And isn't it so cool? Isn't it so great, so good that we share in it together? We share in it together. And honestly, just as it says in Romans 8, that we will never be separated from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, the saints are never truly separated from one another. And that's where I'll end this. I know that we're sentimental today, and we are mostly that way about I don't know, it feels like something's coming to an end. Maybe it is. But the church goes on. Our relationships will go on. And that's what's so wonderful about life in Christ. It's so wonderful, the connection that we have with one another and will continue to have. And so, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God for all that He has done.
I asked Blaine, as we were looking to this service, I said, "Do you want to preach?" And he said, "No." I don't know what you call that right there, buddy. And then just in case you might not be aware, when we are done here, and I am going to speak just a few minutes, and then we're going to wrap it up. But when we're done at the picnic shelter house, just to the south of the building here, we've got hot dogs and hamburgers on the grill, and folks have brought side dishes, and we're just looking to relax and fellowship and enjoy one another. And you are most assuredly encouraged to come, even if you didn't know about it or you know whatever. Come on and join us, and let's have a good time together, just connecting to one another when we're done. Somehow, and I say this, I have been in vocational ministry, which means I've gotten paid to do the stuff I do. Don't tell anybody. Some days I do it for nothing, right? Don't let that out. Not every day. Most days I do it for nothing, right? I've been in vocational ministry for 36 years. And I've been a lead pastor for more than 28 years now. My father was a pastor. I've got multiple family members who are devoted to a lifetime of ministry. I'm educated for the ministry, right? And somehow, here's the point of all that, through all the classes and through all the conversations and all the experiences of a lifetime that are committed to, connected to the body of Christ, somehow I missed the class, or I missed the experience, or I missed the conversation that would tell me how to do as well as I want to do what we are trying to do here today. I missed whatever it might have been that would let me know how to really fully and completely and rightly honor, and for us to fully honor as much as I want somehow for that to be expressed, a trusted friend and partner in ministry, maybe especially, specifically, when the Lord has said, you don't get to know all the answers about what I'm going to do, and that's true either with Pastor Blaine or with us as a congregation. You don't get to know all the reasons behind my plan. We've talked about this. You don't get to have a clear scenario all beautifully mapped out with your questions all answered in nice, succinct bullet points, 12-point Times New Roman font, please. All you get to know is, that I'm doing something different now. I'm telling you what I think the Lord's speaking to me. I'm transitioning people in. I'm transitioning people out. And what you get to do, Pastor, what you get to do, church, is trust and obey. I'm so grateful for 23 years of ministry with Blaine and Michelle. Grateful for who they are. I am grateful for the kingdom work that they have done, from which this fellowship has benefited so greatly. I am grateful for their boys, though, as Blaine has already hinted at, it boggles my mind to think that we have watched them from the day they were born till this day, when many of them were at the point of marriage and grandchildren even. All of that just rattles my cage a little bit. I know that I'm not that old. I don't care what you see when you look at me. I'm about 23 in many ways. And now God has said that it's time for something different, right? It's time for Blaine to do something different, which means something different for JAG Church. And here's at least part of the challenge with that for all of us. Perhaps you remember when I said something like this a few weeks ago. I said that people don't generally become a part of a congregation because they like what it might become. People become part of a community of faith because they like what it is, right? People don't shop for a church. Or people, let me change that. People do shop for a church. They shop for a church like they're shopping for a house, and most of us aren't looking for a fixer-upper. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I am. I like projects. Even if I never finish them, I like, you know, look at my driveway. I like projects, right? I like the notion that I'm going to take something and I'm going to make it whole. Watch it happen, baby. But nobody says, that I know of, nobody says, you know, we visited JAG Church and it does need a complete updating, even a couple of minor structural issues. But, you know, the bones are good. I think there's some real potential here if I'll just invest some sweat equity. So what do you think, honey? Let's dive in. People don't say that about a church. No, people tie into a church because they like what it is. But Jesus is oh so often in the business of calling us and drawing us and moving us on to the next thing that doesn't look like the thing looks like now. Sometimes without fully cluing us in on what the next thing even is. This is part of what it means to be a spirit-filled, spirit-fueled, spirit-led people. This is who we are. So what do we do on a day like today, with a day like today, that there's such a significant transition in the life of our church? I have thought about any number of biblical texts we might give attention to. I thought about Joshua chapter 1, where Joshua takes the leadership of Israel. But, you know, that says, Moses, my servant, is dead. That really wasn't the vibe I wanted for today. I thought about what Paul writes. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the course. But he writes that fixing to die. So there you go again. That doesn't work either. Let me tell you where I ended up. It's in the New Testament book of Acts chapter 20. And some of you are worried that I'm just now getting to a text. I'm only honest. Only just a few more minutes. Acts chapter 20, where the Apostle Paul has completed what we call his third missionary journey. He is on his way back to Jerusalem, but on the way he wants to connect again with the elders from the church at the city of Ephesus. And this is a church that he planted, and this was a church that was dear to him, and he just wanted to see these elders one more time. And he doesn't have the time to go all the way to Ephesus, so Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and who accompanied Paul on this part of his journey, says, Luke reports that Paul asks for the leaders of the Ephesian church to meet with him in Miletus. It is a rather dramatic moment. Luke writes that when they arrived, Paul said to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And that really is the message we carry in a nutshell, isn't it? That we must turn to the Lord in repentance. We must repent and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just want you to hear then what the Apostle Paul says next. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing. Everybody just say, not knowing. Anybody here like certainty? Not knowing what will happen to me there. Pastor Blaine has explained his own sense in this of not knowing everything the Lord has in mind, and yet engages, I think, this transition compelled by the Spirit. You weren't here with us, Pastor Blaine and Michelle, in this room last Sunday, but I shared the same sort of thing in my own experience before coming to Jefferson Assembly of God as pastor. And I just say it again, this is so often the nature of Spirit-led living, to sense the leadership of the Holy Spirit in a certain direction that you ought to go, and while not yet having every I dotted and every T crossed, to simply march in that direction and see what the Spirit does. Church, I am challenging us today that every one of us need to make sure we remain open-hearted to the voice of the Lord, even when we may not see the full picture or know the full story. It's not that Paul doesn't know anything of what awaits him, and what he does know isn't attractive. Compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. I trust that's not your lot, Pastor Blaine. However, Paul says, and this is what I'd really like all of us to hear. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given to me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. May I challenge us, right? Collectively, this fellowship, JAG Church, this unique expression of the people of God, the people that God is forming, that people who embrace His priorities and live out His values as kingdom believers, can I challenge us toward that singular goal, toward that one aim? My only aim, may our only aim be to finish the race and complete the task. Think about a sports analogy, because you know I'm such a great athlete. So let's go there. Think about God, and please forgive me if this seems to trivialize the work or the person of the Almighty. That's not my intent, but let me say it like this. If the coach of your kid's baseball team or football team or basketball team has the right to field his or her players as he or she wishes, to start who they wish, to substitute when they wish, to bench who they wish, if Bill Snyder, for you Wildcat fans, or Bill Self, for you Jayhawkers, all right? If they each have the authority to put on the field, to place on the court, whomever they want to put there, and to call the plays that they want to call, and to direct the staff to their responsibilities and in their responsibilities as they see fit, does not the God of heaven all the more have that authority over us, His church? And why do Bill Snyder and Bill Self have that kind of authority? What is the purpose behind it? It is to win. Just win, baby. It is a single aim. God has given us one purpose as well. One aim. Paul understood it. Paul got it. Paul committed himself to it. My only aim. Everybody just say only aim. Come on. Is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to, declaring, announcing, sharing the good news of God's grace. The good news of God's grace. So as we move towards wrapping up this time we have together this morning, and as we express our love and appreciation to Blaine and Michelle for more than two decades of dedicated ministry, and as we transition towards a future that involves perhaps different faces and different approaches and different points of engagement, I am asking you and I am calling you and I am challenging you to make this, perhaps anew, your aim, our collective aim as well, testifying to the good news of God's grace. Many of you maybe rightly have questions about, what happens here with Blaine and Michelle's departure from JAG Church and after 23 years of service on their part, so integral to the life and fellowship of this body, those questions are legitimate. Let me just tell you that there is a plan. Are you glad to know that? There is a plan, and while we are working diligently to connect immediately with those most directly connected to impacted ministries, letting them know how all of this will flesh out. A couple of Sundays from now, August 19th, we'll be laying out the process that the Lord is walking us through and being more clear about the steps that we are taking. In short, I will tell you that my sense is that we are refocusing and we are restructuring so that we can relaunch or refire for a greater future. We are gearing up. I am genuinely excited for all that I don't like about this transition. Pastor Blaine and I sat in my office several weeks ago as we talked about this and said, why, since we're doing what the Lord has asked us to do, does this feel so lousy? right? For all that I don't like about this transition, I am so full of anticipation and optimistic. I don't like optimistic really as a word because it doesn't smack of faith, of faith in God. We talked about it a few minutes ago, that faith has to have an object. Faith rests in God and God alone. I had that conversation in my mind anyway while Pastor Lindsay was challenging us a little bit, right? So I'm pleased about it. Perhaps you've heard it. Where God guides, He provides. And I'm confident of that for us. So I'm just telling you that while you may not, and while I do not have clarity on every question my heart has asked about all that God is doing among us, I am at the same time fully confident that God has given us the direction we need for the next step, for the next season, for the next move forward in this process. And that just as Pastor Blaine has expressed the compelling work of the Spirit in leadership to a new direction for his life and his ministry, so too we are sensing the leadership of the Spirit for a fresh direction from him. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you again to value your life as Paul valued his life, and to hear again what he said, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Would you like to say amen to that? I want you to stand with me, Pastor Blaine and Michelle. If it's okay, I would like to ask you to come again and with your family who are here to just join us at the front. I'd like the board members and spouses who are here, I know some of them are engaged other places and some of them are even out of town, but I'd like them to come. And then if you're here and on some level you sense the Spirit saying, I'd like that opportunity, would just like to pray with us over Pastor Blaine, Michelle, their family, I'd invite you to come too. Stretch your hands this direction, folks. Now, these are sweet and precious moments, Lord, because we have sensed the direction of your Holy Spirit. And we are taking steps compelled by the Spirit, though we do not know everything that lies ahead. Though we have not received necessarily a full agenda of exactly all you are doing. God, as we spoke about Abram a few weeks ago, leaving Ur of the Chaldees and marching to the land that you would show him. And as we read about Paul today, who said, you know, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, though I do not know what awaits me there. We too, we hunger to be that kind of Spirit-led people who know every step is ordered of God and that we are taking those steps in step with you and your Spirit's leadership. Right now we pray a rich and abundant and continuing blessing over Pastor Blaine, over Michelle, over their children, over their spouses, Lord, grandchildren, just as far as your gracious hand would stretch, we ask for a rich sense of your presence, the continuing work of your leadership in our lives, the continuing flow of your anointing through our lives, so that each moment of each day might be a fruitful expression of the kingdom through us. Pray that especially as this day continues and the conversations are held and the embraces expressed and all that will go on in these next few moments, that Blaine and Michelle would know how dearly beloved they are by this fellowship, how deeply we appreciate that God has brought them to us and what God has done through them for us. And God, may each step from this moment on, as we have been up to now, may each step from this moment on be richly ordered by you so that your kingdom comes and your will is done on earth as it is in heaven. All of it I ask in the precious name of Jesus. And all of God's people said together, amen, amen, amen.